This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. He also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf for more information. Alongside Gary D'Amato, I am Rob Hernandez. We start Talking.Golf first with a weather update. Downtown Milwaukee, 37 degrees, folks. Feels like 30. We're going down to 28 tonight. Gary D'Amato, fall golf weather in Wisconsin.
Fall. It's almost winter golf weather, Rob.
It sure is.
Yeah. I was at a WPGA board meeting today at Legend at Merrill Hills, and there was a good dusting of snow on the ground. Actually, the roads were a tiny bit slippery, too, on the way there because it was flurries were flying and the pavement was wet. And just reminds me that the golf season is about to end, although it's supposed to get a little warmer later this week, Rob. So there's hope yet that we'll get in a few more rounds anyway.
A week ago at this time, we were talking about Dennis McCann's story that included a photo he took up near his summer home in Bayfield. And we were saying that that's fine for them. We can still have a little bit more of the golf season. And then kaboom, right through the middle of the state, a good 7 or 8 inches from Eau Claire on a line west and or on a line east. And a lot of golf being played in the heart of Wisconsin was at least interrupted for a while. And now, as you said, we've seen, especially north of Milwaukee yesterday with some dusting of snow going up the I-43 corridor. It's hard this time of year, Gary. We just don't know. Now, you're planning to play golf later this week with our colleague Mike Davis. But are you the kind of guy that, at this time of year has to have kind of a wardrobe at the back door and you kind of pick and choose how many layers you need for that day?
Yeah. The short answer is yes, Rob. And I've got one of those vests that have a battery pack in it, heated vest. So I'll be wearing that thing. And then I also got in the from a company called G-Tech, I've got a pouch that has a battery in it. And you can it's like one of those pouches that the quarterbacks wear. They put their hands in cold weather.
Right.
But this is heated also. So that's going to be great on the golf course to keep your hands warm. Because as you know, Rob, when your hands get numb and cold, it's really hard to hold on to the golf club. So I'm going to make good use of those two battery-powered machines now as apparel.
Is there nothing that technology can't have an answer for? It's at least extending the golf season for one Gary D'Amato. Golf season, though, has closed, and I was so inspired by what I saw on social media over the weekend that we'll spend part of the week at least looking at other courses to see who's open, who's not. I was struck by the fact, Gary, that the course closing span from Racine all the way up to the to Superior at this point. Not a lot of courses. But the fact that there's courses in southern Wisconsin that are already closing for the season, as well as northern Wisconsin, isn't good. I'll go through the list here quickly. Shute Park in Racine and Washington Park, also in Racine. They are both closed. A couple of municipal golf courses there. Over closer to Madison, Coachman's Golf Resort in Stoughton, Stoughton/Edgerton, put on their Facebook page that they were closing for the season. And then going further to the north, Quigg's Maplewood Golf Course in Pickerel, up kind of in between Green Bay and Rhinelander, is closed for the season now. North Woods Golf Course in Rhinelander posted that they are closed for the season. And then way up in Superior, Patterson Park, a nine-hole operation, closed. I'm sure there are many others. We will look to get to those. I don't know whether it's good news or bad news, Gary, because I think the good news is that we aren't seeing a whole lot more. I know that Rolling Meadows and courses in the Fond du Lac area were posting pictures of the snow cover over the weekend there. It wasn't much, but it was enough to shut down play for the weekend. The silver lining was it gave the maintenance staff a little time to work on the course. I guess that is a silver lining. You're not going to find many hardy souls braving that kind of weather like we had in some places over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, some of the list you read, some of the courses up north, it's understandable. They've already had some snow up there. But I was a little surprised that the Racine, the Munis in Racine, Shoup in Washington, Johnson Park was not on that list, right? So Park's still open. Yeah.
Right.
But that's surprising because we're still going to get some decent weather. I mean, it's supposed to be, I think, 50 on Wednesday and Thursday around here. So, and the sun's going to be out. So, I mean, you can definitely play golf in 50 degrees.
Well, we're a frigid 63 out here in California today.
Ooh.
So I won't even begin to go down the road that of what it feels like out here. But you posted an appropriately timed story today, though, Gary, and that was that we've got a number of indoor facilities. In fact, one opening this week up in Mequon at X Golf Mequon is having a soft opening tonight, kind of a preview, and then they're expected to open here in the next week or so. And we've got a lot of not only indoor facilities, but a lot of indoor leagues to go with those facilities. And tell us a little bit about that and the phenomena that we have coming, you know, ahead here. It seems as though that not a lot of people in Wisconsin are totally putting the clubs down for the winter, are they?
No, and first of all, I have to apologize for my barking dog in the background, Rob. Doggone dog.
Well, your dog wants to get out and play. I mean,
he does.
I guess the whole house wants to get out and get on the golf course.
Yeah, you're right, Rob. There's indoor golf is booming. I mean, even in the COVID age and a lot of these, every indoor facility in Wisconsin has to be careful with social distancing and mask wearing. All the employees are wearing masks. Once you get to your hitting station indoors, you can take your mask off. But obviously safety is still of utmost importance and concern with the rising, with the spike in coronavirus cases. But indoor golf, Rob, I mean, when I was a kid, there was a place on Blue Mountain Road in Milwaukee called, I think it was called Golf-O-Mat or Golf-O-Matic. And it was a precursor to all these, to these indoor golf facilities and simulators. It was really primitive. You hit your ball into a screen and the screen kind of like flipped forward on the golf course. It wasn't sophisticated by any means, but now, I mean, when you see the technology in some of these simulators, Rob, I mean, you almost feel like you're on the golf course, really. It's so, the graphics are so beautiful, and the information you get from TrackMan and from some of these simulators that track your ball flight and trajectory and spin. And I mean, you can go indoors now and practice all winter. And there's like Brian Brodell said, he's the PGA professional at one of the X Golf locations in Milwaukee. He said, there's no reason to come out of winter now and you know, not be sharp with your game, because you can hit balls all winter long and you can improve without actually being on a golf course. So yeah, it's growing.
And not that every word that you wrote in that story didn't captivate me, Gary, but I gotta say, I was 10 times more captivated by the look of X Golf in Brookfield, the picture that we ran with your story. I mean, what an attractive place to go and hang out in the wintertime. I mean, they've got a bar there. I'm sure if I were to blow that up, that almost looks like a Spotted Cow tapper in that picture. And then you get to sit and watch your buddy, you know, you watch each other play. You can go play in the simulator, come back and watch golf on TV. It is kind of like this new age golf environment that has been created at some of these locations. Probably a little bit the kind of the condensed version of Top Golf that we've seen around the country in a lot of the larger metropolitan areas, but this certainly seems to be something that I could spend a lot of time at this winter.
Yeah, I went to Four Milwaukee. It's F-O-R-E Milwaukee. Tim Grogan, longtime PGA professional, former Marquette coach, owns it. It's downtown Milwaukee. And I went there last winter before COVID hit to kind of do a similar story on simulators and indoor golf. And that place was absolutely packed. I mean, there had to be 150 people in there, and it's a small place. Now I assume that, you know, he's got some different rules going now with COVID, but this was before COVID and it was jam packed on a cold January day last year. So, you know, bowling leagues once were the king in Wisconsin. I mean, everybody was in a bowling league, right? And now more and more these days, people are joining golf leagues, which I think is really interesting.
As I was sitting here looking at some of the simulators and then, you know, just kind of, you know, seeing again this picture of the center bar, I mean, it does look like a bowling alley for golfers, except instead of the lane extending off of the mat, you know, where everybody sits and waits for their turn to hit, it's a screen, and so it's, you know, functionally more efficient, And I mean, I still love bowling, and I hope that bowling never goes away in the city of Milwaukee and you know, Southeast Wisconsin, because it's always been kind of the staple of winters. But boy, this sure is nice. And again, like you say, you know, you can measure a lot of things that haven't been measured. We certainly have come a long way. And then I go back to, you know, the time that we lived in Madison and the evolution of Vitense Golf Land there with their, you know, again, it's outside. I mean, you're in the elements, but with the heating stalls and stations, and we have a picture of a similar one down at Gastro's Golf Center in Oak Creek that you've written about before, and they have the Top Tracer range moniker as well. But, you know, Gastro's, Vitense, I mean, you can go and not just hit golf balls, but, you know, it can be a social event too. They have people that can come at least at Vitense and take your drink and food orders, and the food is really good there. And we have come a long way since having to, you know, bundle up our clubs for the winter.
That's the other thing, Rob, the ranges, the outdoor ranges now, you're missing an opportunity now if you own a driving range or a practice facility and you don't have heated bays, because at one time, you know, all those places had to close, you know, come November, and they didn't reopen until April. Now you can stay open all winter, and unless it's really bitterly cold, those lamps above the hitting stations keep you pretty comfortable. Even when it's 20 degrees out, you can hit balls in just like a long sleeve shirt. So just about every range that I know of in the Milwaukee area has added or is in the process of adding heated hitting stations, so they can stay open all winter.
I hope we get to the point where the stories that are written about Steve Stricker finally, you know, don't make such a big deal out of his little garage, you know, range thing out there at Cherokee Country Club, because that really is becoming the norm. I don't know if Steve had anything to do with it, but we certainly have seen the whole concept mushroom.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, Brian Brodell in my story talked about that, how Steve and Jerry Kelly have managed to keep their game sharp. Although both of them get away now in the winter, let's be honest, they're not in Wisconsin 365 days a year. Steve goes down to Florida, Jerry goes to Arizona, and they work on their games there. But they've managed in the past to keep their game sharp and come out a winner from hitting balls, you know, in Wisconsin. And Steve, that perfect example in that heated trailer, three-sided trailer.
And part of their, you know, success was attributed to the fact that they didn't do it year round. And we're not looking to, you know, feed the frenzy to the point where you don't have a break ever. But I think this is a good solution, especially the leagues, especially for the average golfer. I think the one thing about league play in the wintertime with some of these things is it keeps a golf club in your hand. And, you know, Steve and Jerry can, you know, pick up and put down a golf club and still have a pretty good idea how to use it when they pick it back up again. You and me and the golfers we hang around, maybe not so much.
And the other part of the equation is I'm taking lessons from Andy Podolak, and I've had three lessons with Andy at Range Time, Ramiro Romo's new place at Ives Grove, and he's a great teacher, and I've learned a lot about my swing, and I'm making some swing changes, Rob, and I can work on them all winter now. And I don't have to go out and try to post the score and, you know, revert to my old swing while I'm on the golf course. I can just work on my swing until the changes become ingrained in my muscle memory. Hopefully that's the plan anyway, Rob. And then, you know, come spring when I go out on the course, I've got a new swing. So we'll see. But I'm going to work hard all winter. I'm going to be a regular at Range Time this winter.
We're going to get the hype video ready. Gary D'Amato coming out of winter. Exploding through the through the door of the pro shop. I'm ready to tee it up. Yeah, that'll be good. Last but not least in your story, Gary, I the other thing that's nice about indoor golf and the leagues and the simulators and these facilities is, you know, unlike outdoor golf where it's all incumbent on the weather and getting, you know, the ranges open early, you know, in southern Wisconsin, I know as a kid growing up in Wisconsin Rapids, I was always envious about how warm it would be when we go down to the state wrestling tournament, even at the end of February. And it felt like forever for spring to arrive north of Stevens Point and Rapids. But Four Seasons Golf in Wausau, one of those facilities you mentioned in your story, they too have four full swing simulators as well. And they're starting league play at the end of November. And I think that's pretty cool as well. This isn't something that requires, that it depends on where you are in the state of Wisconsin. there's a lot of these places around, and you just scratch the surface, I'm sure, with the ones that you mentioned in your story.
Oh yeah, there's dozens of them literally across the state now, Rob, and even a lot of private clubs have added a couple simulators, and it gives club members a reason to frequent their club in the winter and play golf indoors. So, and these guys are some of the few people in the golf industry that actually hope for bad weather because it drives people indoors to their facilities.
That's true. That's true. Talking.Golf, sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They have a golf course management program run by Scott Kennedy. He's also the coach of the Chargers golf team. You can learn more at swtc.edu/golf. And Gary, you know, really to segue into our next topic, you were at the WPGA meeting, as you said earlier. Everybody's finding a way to make money off of golf. This has nothing to do with the current COVID-19 situation in which we find ourselves, but it also shows that, now you can have year-round golf in Wisconsin. I know there's a lot of people, a lot of our caddy friends that we've talked and written about through the year are getting ready to leave Wisconsin, head down to Florida, Arizona, California, warmer climates to work. A lot of our club pro friends that aren't the head professionals or the GMs of their courses are going to their winter shops. But I mean, we're starting to approach the point where we can sustain this year round because the interest is there. We certainly saw it this year with the interest level in golf.
Yeah, I mean, in a year that started out extremely challenging when the pandemic first hit and everything was shut down, driving ranges, outdoor ranges were shut down, even after golf courses opened. And it was a bad start to the spring, but in a lot of ways, it became a very, very successful year for just about everyone who owns a golf course. The downside, of course, Rob, is that, food and beverage was down. And if you, hotel rooms were down for traveling golfers, that sort of thing. But as far as just pure numbers of recreational play, almost everybody in the state was up, which is a good thing. It helped offset the revenue loss from weddings and banquets and outings that were canceled. But it could have been a lot worse. And, you've got to give kudos to the Wisconsin State Golf Association and the WPGA for getting together and fighting for golfers in our state and hiring, doing all the right things, I guess, to get in the good graces of the people in Madison so that golf could go forward. The cooperation between those organizations and the superintendents and the Golf Course Owners Association really helped get golf open up quicker than it was open in a lot of other places nationally. And our courses and our state bore the fruits of that by having a lot of rounds played.
That's awesome to hear. And I'm glad that we were able to, see that kind of, shot in the arm, especially for the owners that took a bath in March. They certainly more than made up for it in April through September into October. And if we can get a few more warm days, who knows, we could go into the middle of November. A couple of things that you mentioned to me before we came on the Talking.Golf podcast here had to do with junior golf. And you mentioned that Erica Perkle made a presentation. She's in charge of drive, chip, and putt. And before we get to what she had to say, one of the things that came out of the state high school girls championship this fall was the fact that, two of the favorites to win the state title this year were products of drive, chip, and putt. Eventual champion Jessica Geyser of Arrowhead High School in Heartland, and then, of course, Sarah Balding of Brookfield Central, both kids that made it to the national championship. You wrote about them back in your days at the Journal Sentinel. The one story, which was, I think, an evergreen that'll stand the test of time for what drive, chip, and putt means to introduce kids to the game, is the fact that Jessica Geyser went the same year as a very young golfer as Emily Lauterbach, who was probably in her final year of eligibility, now golfing at the University of Wisconsin. The impact of that program is immense, and it's nice to see that they're going to not only sustain and maintain what they've got, but possibly expand the program as well.
Yeah, it sounds like the program will be expanded. They're, they have to get directions from Augusta National as far as how many local and regional sites that they can have. But there's a demand for drive, chip, and putt. Some of the local qualifiers are now having upwards of 150 entrants, which is just outstanding. And, a couple of them are smaller, 50 to 75 entrants. But I think Erica Perkle's done a great job with that program. And it's fun to see when we have kids from our state going down to Augusta National. Of course, it didn't happen this year, but it's right. going to happen in the future once we get past this. So it's great to see that we have young golfers who get to experience going to Augusta National and, you know, having champions in their green jackets, you know, help with the trophy presentation. It's that's been a marvelous program for young kids.
And the thing that I like about it, Gary, is the fact that it emphasizes chipping and putting. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was a kid, it was, you know, 99% about how far you could hit the ball, how hard you could swing the club. And now, you know, with this incentive to try to get to Augusta National, I think you're seeing more kids work on that part of the game. And it's making them better. And certainly the young ladies that I mentioned earlier, that's what separates them from a lot of the other kids their age, is the fact that they were introduced to that concept at a young age. So kudos to them. And then you heard a report that said junior memberships in the Wisconsin PGA Junior Foundation were down, but play was up. And I think there's a lot of things there, Gary, that come into play. One is the fact that I think some parents were still a little bit reluctant to send their kids out into a COVID environment around other kids. And so that may have been the reason for the decline in membership, but the decline or the increase in participation in the number of tournament rounds that were played, I think speaks to how hungry kids were to get out and compete in anything. And so I think we found a happy medium there. And I know I talked to Andy about a month or so ago as we were winding down the high school girls season and just said, you know, I mean, you haven't told me if we've had any problems with COVID, but I take it that no news was good news from the standpoint that if kids were exposed in any situation, I interpreted a lot of the WDs that we saw in the results to be, so that might have been part of the problem. So it seems as though everything went off without a hitch there and led to the girls golf being played at the high school level this fall.
Yeah, you know, Andy Landenberger was on the Zoom call with the board meeting. There were half the board was there at Legend at Merrill Hills in a room, and the other half of the board was calling in on Zoom. Andy was on the call, and he's I believe it was either Joe or Andy, one of the two, Joe Stadler or Andy, said that they only had to send one kid home all summer. He showed up at a tournament and casually mentioned that one of his siblings had COVID, and so they had to say, well, you can't play, we're sorry, you have to go home. But that only happened once out of out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rounds played. So it's good that people were taking precautions, taking it seriously, and that golf is still one of the ultimate social distancing sports.
As I said, it led to the girls' golf being played this fall, and it led then to a state championship for the 75% of schools that competed. And last night it led to a very unique way. I've never seen an all-state team presented on video before, Gary, but the Golf Coaches of Wisconsin, Golf Coaches Association of Wisconsin, did it that way with a YouTube video that featured images of a lot of the golfers that were named to the teams. And the Player of the Year, Jessica Geiser, a freshman, and she was one of two freshmen on the first team, along with Kylie Walker out of Westosha Central down at Paddock Lake. And you had Madison Haugen of Brookfield East on the second team. And then Kylie's twin sister, Caitlin Walker, also with Social Central on the third team. The other thing, Gary, about drive, chip, and putt, the WPGA Junior Tour, that I think is starting to really take hold is how good these kids are so young. And much like the mentality we're seeing in other sports where, you know, if you're a U12 basketball player, you might play on the 13-14 teams to try to get better. You know, you might get hammered and tossed around, but in the long run, it might make you better. We're seeing a lot of younger kids play in that junior tour, even, you know, kids that might previously have been on the Futures Tour a little bit too long, the nine-hole tour, and not too long, but longer, you know, until their age eligibility was used up. So again, we're seeing kids get better younger, and that goes all the way up to the professional ranks as we see all these great quote-unquote rookies come in that play like they're seasoned veterans.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, but like the All-State teams maybe 20, 25 years ago would have been very, very heavily junior and senior dominated, yeah. Right, with very few freshmen on the team. So this is a relatively new phenomenon, isn't it?
Absolutely. And part of it is, you know, again, it happened that, you know, one of the, you know, some of the kids in the 25% that won't play until March include Joe Baranchuk of of Bayport, the two-time defending state champion, she probably would have been on the first team.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I mean, you had 75% of the schools playing, and, you know, you had one senior on the first team, Elise Hoven, who's headed to North Dakota State, Ellie Baring of Oak Creek, and Lauren Hain of Xavier Appleton, the Division II state champion, and Reagan Stuckey of Kettle Moraine on the second team, and then, you know, four more out of the six on the third team. But you go down, especially the honorable mentions, and it's a smorgasbord of every grade level, including Izzy Stricker of Wanakee, Steve's daughter, who earned honorable mention all state honors. But and that's a beautiful thing too, Gary. I mean, this isn't a coach saying, you know, I think you can hit the ball far, I'm going to put you on the varsity. You really have to shoot a score, or you're a liability to the team. And whereas, you know, in basketball, maybe some other sports, soccer, you're projecting.
And we apologize, some technical difficulties here on Talking.Golf. With that, we will call it a week. For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. We appreciate you listening to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. He also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf for more information. We'll talk golf again next week.